Hello, everybody, and welcome to Belligerence. My name is Dean Pennington, and I am your host, I guess. Is that what you call a podcast guy? Am I the host? I mean, it's just me, so, I mean, I guess I'm the one in charge, but I'm not really the host. I'm just a crazy asshole talking into a microphone alone in my bedroom. Well, it's not really my bedroom. I mean, the whole apartment is mine. But, like, I'm in the room that I sleep in. So, I that came off like I live with, like, my parents, and I'm just, like, another podcaster sitting, eating fucking Pop-Tarts and waiting for Mom to finish my laundry. But I'm not one of those people. I am an adult. I'm a functioning adult with an apartment and food in my fridge. And that is important for you to know. So, this show is really just going to be a bunch of nonsense. It's probably going to be stream of consciousness, me yelling about fucking everything. Like, things like everyone in New England is batshit crazy right now because we got some snow and everyone acts like a moron. Everyone acts like a fucking troglodyte when there's more than half an inch of snow on the ground and everyone forgets how to drive and it's just chaos. It's organized chaos on the streets and there's traffic fucking all day. It's Saturday. It's Saturday fucking morning today, and I'm sitting in traffic for like an hour and a half just trying to get like 6 miles to go to the store to get coffee to wake up to like, because I'm hungover because I'm literally always hungover. It never stops. I'm permanently hungover, and I get up on a Saturday, and all I want to do is get coffee and something, some shitty, depressing food, and then come home and eat it by myself. And I couldn't even do that in a reasonable amount of time. I went out in sweatpants, and I always get worried that, like, if I go out in sweatpants and it's a situation outside where there's traffic or, like, a plow takes me out or my car dies, I'm dressed like a fucking homeless asshole. I smell like fucking Gouda, and I'm standing on the side of the road just being disgusting, and people have to actually help me in that state. So, you know, no one really wants to stop for the crackhead on the side of the road. So I always worry about that. It's like, should I always be dressed like for the occasion? Like, should I actually like have to get up and shower on the weekend so I could go out and just do the normal things that I do in the morning? Or should I just keep banking on continued success getting to and from whatever location it is, not dead and not on the side of the road? And so far, that strategy has been working out, so I'll stick with it until it fails or until I do end up getting killed somewhere out in the streets by some asshole entitled Linfield piece of shit with their Land Rover and a couple of snowbanks, you know. Anyway, so the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl was obviously awesome being from Boston. Clearly, I'm satisfied with the result. Although they probably fucking didn't deserve to win because the defense couldn't stop. You know what? That's not fair. I guess that's not fair. And that's kind of the opinion I wanted to have. But that curse catch was absolutely ridiculous. That was a one in a million catch. And you can't even blame the defense because Malcolm Butler actually made a pretty awesome play on that one. And, you know, Kurt, it wasn't a fluke because Kurt saw it the whole time. But, man, what an ending to that game. And, you know, the Pats battled back, and that was vintage classic Tom Brady. And he's so hot, that Tom Brady. He's just the sexiest person in the world. And, yeah, he fucking really drove that ball home, man. What am I talking about? That's not at all what I meant to say. But seriously, that was vintage Brady. Classic Brady. He needed a couple of drives like that because it's been a long time since he stepped up in a dire situation and really emphatically won the game single-handedly and earned that MVP. You know, I think in the last two Super Bowls, he was below average for him. And I think that they've had a lot of playoff losses where he was the most responsible person for that playoff loss recently. But these playoffs were a different beast. He was awesome against Baltimore. He was ridiculous against Indy, even though his balls were underinflated. And he was fucking awesome against supposedly the best defense, supposedly, in the NFL. So you got to give Brady credit. It was an awesome win. And Malcolm Butler, holy shit. holy motherfucking balls. That was one hell of a play at the end of that game. It's the only time I can remember where a play made by the defense directly impacted the outcome of a championship game. I mean, if he doesn't make that play, the Patriots do not win the Super Bowl, and Tom Brady is not the best quarterback of all time. So think of the swing in terms of a legacy that came out of that Malcolm Butler catch. I mean, that was awesome. It really was fucking awesome. And, you know, the kid's so cool. It's such a cool fucking story. He was working at Popeyes. 6 months, you know how much you have to suck ass to work at fucking Popeyes? Can you imagine what it must be like fucking dealing with these idiots that come into Popeyes? Well, I mean, granted, I'm biased because I'm thinking of the one around here and the kind of people I know who live in Everett. But seriously, like, you work at Popeyes, people who, retail sucks as it is, fast food has to be even fucking worse, all right? And this poor bastard who's in shape and he cares about his body and he plays sports and, you know, he was a standout at his little tiny college in Alabama and he always had big dreams, man. I'm going to play in the NFL someday, but first, I got to work at Popeyes. That sucks, man. So, you know, I'm glad that he decided one day to put his man pants on and walk down to the Patriots practice facility and step on the field and start slapping Tom Brady around or whatever the fuck he did to get on the team. I mean, I don't know, maybe he finger blasted Bill Belichick's asshole, which is entirely possible because I don't know how this kid goes from Popeyes to starting in the to playing in the Super Bowl in a span of like 6 months. Without having to finger blast someone's asshole, because sometimes that's what you have to do to get ahead in life. I mean, that's how I got my job. That's how I got through college. That's how I have a podcast, because I am at the ready all the time to finger blast an asshole or two, because that's what it takes in modern society. Sometimes you just got to swallow your pride and take two fingers and plug an asshole with them. So kudos to Malcolm Butler for plugging the asshole of society and living his dreams. And now he should kill himself. And let me tell you why he should kill himself. Not because I want him to kill himself. I don't. I'm his biggest fan. But what a great way for this to end, right? This kid comes up. He comes up through the fucking league. He walks onto the team. He finger blasts Bill Belichick's asshole. They put him in the Super Bowl. He makes the biggest interception in the history of fucking football. Undoubtedly the biggest interception in the history of football. And I dare you to prove me wrong. And even if you think you did, I'm going to tell you you didn't, because I'm that kind of asshole who's always right. So even if you think you proved me wrong, you didn't. You fucking didn't. It was the best interception in the history of football. He made it. He comes out, he gets a truck from Tom Brady, a beautiful truck. He gets a blowjob from Giselle, which I heard, by the way, Ian Rappaport reported today that Giselle was going to blow Malcolm Butler in front of Tom Brady's kids. So that's happening. And then he fucking kills himself after the summer of love. He has a summer, he just goes on a fucking tear through Boston, through Disney World, just fucking the mascots at Disneyland World, whatever. And then he comes back and he fucking dies tragically. And like his number gets retired. And he's just that flash in the pan guy who his only fucking relevant play ever happens to be the most important play in Patriots history. That is the stuff that wins Pulitzers. Not a Gronking to remember, even though it should. That was my phone vibrating. Watch Super Bowl champion Rob Gronkowski. Wait a minute. Super Bowl champion Rob Gronkowski of the Patriots spikes the puck for the opening faceoff in Boston tonight. Oh. All right, it's going to be hard to continue this podcast with a semi, but I'm going to try. I will trudge on. So I don't want to go too deep into sports because that's not what this is supposed to be. But I do want to talk about one article that I read after the Super Bowl that made me want to fucking gouge out my eyeballs and skull fuck myself. All right. This article literally is the motivation for this podcast. And that's not even a joke. I called this podcast Belligerence because of the way this article made me feel. All right. If you're familiar with Salon, Salon is a website full of assholes, mostly hipsters, I would assume. People, the kind of people who have dreadlocks when they're white and they wear ratty thrift store clothes and they hang out in Davis Square and they smoke fucking cloves and they wear Ray-Bans and they do shit like that. The kind of shit that really pisses me off. And they drink like, they drink shitty, shitty beers like Session Ale or like Saisons or whatever the fuck they're called. And like all the German, like Human fucking Vlumen Wafer, shit like that. Those kind of people. Those are the kind of people that probably write for Salon. The people who go to, like, I don't know, like, they go to, like, Lesley University, and they think that, like, they're the smartest person on the planet, and that everything, they think they're a journalist because they have a Tumblr, and they had, like once fucking, like, I don't know, like, Stephen Colbert, like, liked something on Tumblr. That doesn't even make sense. I don't know. What the point is, they're rich assholes who grew up that way. And now they write for Salon because they're a journalist to make mommy proud, whatever. So this idiot, Steve Almond, I don't know. I don't know anything about him. I'm assuming that because he writes for this website, that he is a horrible, vapid person who just... I'm assuming that because his articles show up on Salon, that he is disgusting. And he is completely devoid of anything interesting to say. And he probably thinks he's the best writer on the internet. So let's carve into this fucking turkey, shall we? Here's the name of the article. You're going to love this. I'm going to read it in parts. First of all, we are all amoral football hypocrites. We all have no morals, okay? If you watch football, you are devoid of morals. So take that one to your grave, you prick. Brain injuries, billionaire tax breaks, and our indefensible Super Bowl parties... I'll tell you, those fucking degenerates having their fucking hot wings in their beers, in their rape, and watching the Super Bowl, and putting their beers out on the porch in the snow. These fucking people are ruining this country. How dare you have a Super Bowl party? How dare you have friends? I am Steve Almond. I have no friends. And no one comes to my Super Bowl parties. And it makes me angry. And I'm going to write an article knocking you for having successful Super Bowl parties and watching football. And that somehow has something to do with billionaire tax breaks. But we'll get to that, I guess. So, for many years, and this is from the article. I'm not going to read the whole thing because who wants to listen to that? But I will, I'll give you the highlights. I'll give you the cliff notes, all right? For many years, Mike Ditka has served as the embodiment of what you might call America's unconstructed football id. All right, if you use the word id, not ID, id, in your fucking article, you are automatically the biggest douchebag I've ever fucking met in my life. If you have the balls to use id in a conversation or an article or any kind of correspondence with me, I'm going to call you an asshole. Because that's what you are. You're an asshole. This is already one sentence in. And already I can't even stand this coffee table psychology bullshit. We'll move on. Ditka won an NFL championship as a hard-charging tight end and then coached the 1985 Chicago Bears, whatever. His testosterone-fueled tirades and bomb-proof pompadour earned him iconic status, the sort codified in worshipful Saturday Night Live parodies. What a mouthful. Good thing people don't read out loud, because this sentence is a nightmare. Let's try it again. His testosterone-fueled tirades and bomb-proof pompadour earned him iconic status, the sort codified in worshipful Saturday Night Live parodies. I've been reading since I was 2. I like to think I read at a pretty high level, but that is too much alliteration for me to handle. As a television commentator, Ditka always reveled in playing the tough guy. If God wanted man to play soccer, he once growled, he wouldn't have given us arms. That Mike Ditka. Last May, 3 members of the Super Bowl team coached by Ditka sued the NFL, alleging that team doctors overprescribed painkillers and misled players about the severity of their injuries. Ditka's initial response was to mouth the NFL company line. "If you don't want to take meds, then don't take them," he wrote in the Chicago Sun-Times. "I don't think anybody ever forces anyone to do anything." Now, I'm inclined to agree with Ditka, because honestly, if someone handed me a fucking handful of Percocets and said, "Here's a glass of milk, take all of these now," I would probably have a problem with that. I would probably, at the very least, say, "Sir, is my heart going to stop the second these Percocet all touch my tongue at the same time?" And either that, or I would say, "This really doesn't seem like a good idea to take all these painkillers, Doc." And then I wouldn't take them. I would go to CVS and I would buy some ibuprofen and I would take 7 at a time. But I wouldn't take fucking painkillers prescribed by a doctor if they were prescribing them as much as this awesome writer seems to know, because he was in the locker rooms, so he knows how. He probably was prescribed a lot of painkillers by team doctors, so clearly this asshole knows exactly what he's talking about. Anyway, it's hard, from the article, it's hard to overstate the naivete of this observation, especially coming from Ditka, who understands the intense pressure on, quote, his guys to play through pain. Last year, an ESPN survey showed that 85% of NFL players would choose to play in the Super Bowl with a concussion. Let's stop here for a second. So I think the point that fucking Johnny Douchebag here is trying to make is that the NFL has a certain responsibility to protect their players from concussions, and they have a moral responsibility to treat them in a manner that isn't going to harm them. And they also have a responsibility to be honest with their players. The second two points I agree with. Obviously, doctors shouldn't be over-prescribing anybody, athletes or otherwise. And if a player is injured, the player deserves an honest answer about the severity and the nature of their injury. Pretty common sense stuff. What I don't agree with is that the NFL is somehow responsible for players getting concussed playing a game in which 350-pound fucking baboons slam into each other at 12 fucking miles an hour. You don't know anyone. Think of everyone you've ever met in your fucking life, all right? Have you ever met someone as big as Vince Wilfork? Have you ever met someone with the girth of that man? Probably not. And secondly, has a man that size ever rammed his helmet into your fucking head? No. And you probably wouldn't want that to happen. So that's why you don't play football. But these people do. They made a decision to play football knowing that it's a violent sport and they're going to slam fucking heads into things and they're going to slam their heads into each other's helmets and fucking slap each other after plays and put their heads through a goalpost and whatever else, headbutt one of the fucking giant-headed Paul Revere mascots at Patriots games. I don't know. There's a myriad things that you could do to your head playing football. And it's really not the NFL's problem, because these same fans that make that argument would be livid if the NFL fundamentally had to change its game to protect the heads of its players. It's impossible. It is impossible for us. Just the very nature of the sport restricts the NFL from having complete control over this issue. So while it's unfortunate that players retire and then years later develop lingering injuries or CTE or memory loss or amnesia, whatever, there's a whole bunch of things that I can honestly and directly attribute to concussions in football. I'm not naive about it, like this asshole says I am. I'm not naive enough to think that football doesn't contribute to these long-term injuries that these players face. But I don't really feel all that bad. And that maybe I'm an asshole. I probably am. But I don't feel bad for people who end up with the result that they should have expected in the first place. Like, for instance, if you smoke for 40 years, all right? You smoke for 40 years and then you get lung cancer, all right? Do you sue the fucking cigarette maker? Of course you don't. I mean, even back in the day when people thought, like, smoking gave you vitamin A and made your dick bigger, even back then, I think people knew in their heart of hearts that filling your fucking lungs with smoke and fire was not making you any healthier. Even the idiots who were like, it grows out of the ground and nothing bad ever came out of God's earth. Well, cyanide comes out of God's earth, but you wouldn't smoke that. So it's the same fucking argument. You don't want to get a concussion, don't play football, okay? You don't want to fall off a building, don't be an iron worker, all right? These are occupational risks. They come with the territory. I sit on my big, fat, ample ass all day, and I write code, okay? I'm not, you know, I do that because I'm a pussy. I'm a big, fat, sopping wet vagina. That's what I am, okay? I don't have the balls or the physical skills or the mental fucking ability to play football, so I don't. I don't play football. And, you know, another reason why I don't play football is because I don't want to end up with a Swiss cheese brain at age 50. But if I did play football and I did end up with a Swiss cheese brain at age 50, I wouldn't turn around and say the NFL did this to me, because that's fucking ridiculous. Even before the NFL had a policy in place, okay, you had to know that slamming your head off things wasn't good for your health. You had to know that. And if you didn't know that, then you're stupid enough to play football, okay? I don't know. I'm not sympathetic to these people. It's very sad when these things happen. It's incredibly sad that an awesome guy like Junior Seau killed himself. And, you know, it's linked to CTE and concussion, supposedly. I haven't read a ton about it, but, you know, I'll concede that point. It's definitely plausible to think that Junior Seau's suicide was directly related to the brain damage he sustained playing football. Fine. But Junior Seau could have been anything, and he was a football player. And furthermore, he was a linebacker, so he was the guy in charge of tackling people running at him with helmets on. So, I mean, it's cause and effect, and it's really hard for me to feel bad. I don't know. Maybe I lack empathy. I probably do. But, you know, I think even people that will sit here and fucking insist that I'm just an asshole, you know deep down that I'm at least a little bit right, okay? I'm at least a tiny bit right. And the point stands that occupational risks exist in every occupation. It just so happens that the NFL is on a massive public stage in front of millions of people, and everyone can weigh in on this. That's the only, you don't see people weighing in on other dangerous jobs. You don't see fucking people lining up, I don't know, outside of like a maggot farm, fucking talking about the risks that come with the ammonia that maggots shit out, that you end up with fucking sepsis. None of these things are even true. I don't know anything about maggot farms, okay? I'm just trying to make a point, and it's not really working, so that's where I went with that. But I think you get the overall fundamental idea of what I'm trying to say here, okay? The only reason this is an issue is because it's the NFL. And hockey kind of deals with it to a lesser extent, but I think in hockey, you have more control over it. The players can change their behavior and largely eliminate concussions from the game, and they have. You know, you have to keep your elbows down, all right? You can't throw a shoulder into someone's head. If you're going to hit somebody, it has to be shoulder to chest, shoulder to shoulder. They can't have their back turned to you. The NHL was able to implement all of these rules, not change the game fundamentally, and they've had a lot of success with it. Football doesn't have that luxury. No matter what you do, okay, you're still having men who are monsters running at each other at full speed, wearing fucking helmets that probably weigh as much as truck tires, slamming into each other. That's the game. That's the nature of the game, and it's never going to change. And unless they fucking come up with a helmet that is made out of fucking astronaut suits and is anti-gravity and can repel other helmets, they're not going to fix this problem. Although it's a pretty funny visual, a helmet that repels other helmets and, like, necks are snapping all over the fucking field and, you know, but that's an even bigger problem, because I would rather have a concussion than a snapped neck. So this article goes way off the rails, and that's why I brought it up. That point is pretty common, right? There's a ton of fucking hack writers writing about concussions in the NFL. But if you remember, this was the title of the article didn't just include brain injuries. It included billionaire tax breaks and the indefensible Super Bowl parties. So the billionaire tax breaks, he goes on to say that, let's see. I had a point here, but now I can't fucking find it, and that's aggravating. Because I've read this article 17 goddamn times, and you'd think I would know exactly what I wanted to say here. But every time I read it, I find more bullshit that pisses me off. So I have to organize my thoughts a little bit here. But the line that I'm thinking of is cognitive dissonance is what allows citizens who vehemently oppose tax cheats to underwrite a league that lobbied Congress for tax-exempt status despite earning $10 billion in annual revenues. And somehow, that is unique to the NFL. I don't understand that, okay? Because let's look at a list of companies in the United States that have tax-exempt status. Right now, okay, there are just under 2 million taxable corporations in this country versus 7.6 million pass-through businesses, which are companies that do not have to pay the same amount of taxes as ever. They're essentially tax-exempt companies, okay? So there are three times as many companies in this country who don't pay tax at the same rate or at any rate as the average individual or the average corporation in this country, okay? And, you know, a lot of the companies that make up this list are companies that we interact with every single fucking day. Companies like Apple, companies like Sony, all right? GM. Pretty much every American car maker enjoys these benefits, and you're going to fucking single out... Why? Why are you going to single out the NFL in this article, Mr. fucking Almond? Huh? Why are you going to do that? I know... Oh, wait. I know why you're going to fucking do it. Because you need clicks. Salon fills your pockets with money every time someone clicks on your douchey fucking article. Oh, which, by the way, has ads all over it. Okay? So you're raking in money off of your commentary on the NFL. Because you're a person of such high moral ground that you couldn't possibly profit off of a sport as barbaric as football, except you have ads all over your fucking article, and you wrote a book called Against Football. You're so against football that you wrote a book about it, and then you profited, probably into the millions, off of the book that you wrote about football. Weird. Weird how that works. Weird how this is just another fraudulent fucking journalist. By the way, I didn't want to go here, but Deflategate brought out the absolute worst in journalism, okay? And I'm not going to dwell on it, but I want to submit Ian O'Connor as an example. Ian O'Connor, if you're not familiar, is a beat writer for the New York Jets. He works at ESPN, and he posts a lot of football articles under ESPN New York. And for some reason, during Deflategate... Actually, I know the reason, but ESPN kept putting this idiot on the front page of their fucking website so everyone could see his shitty garbage commentary about Deflategate and about how the Patriots are cheaters and how Bill Belichick should be suspended for the fucking Super Bowl, which is insane. And that was never going to happen, but ESPN kept promoting this fucking guy, this idiot. Who had no journalistic integrity at all, who didn't bother to fact-check anything he wrote. He was just making these wild accusations about all 12 balls were 2 PSI or more deflated. Funny how today it comes out that only one of the balls were 2 PSI deflated, and the rest of them were, quote, just a tick under 12.5 PSI, and that was reported by Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, who has a hell of a lot more at stake than this douchebag from New York, because Ian Rappaport's checks are signed by the NFL. So I'm more inclined to believe him and not Ian Rappaport's biased fucking malice that he keeps publishing on ESPN.com. And they keep encouraging it. And there's so many of these. There's so fucking many people who wrote articles that had no basis in fact at all for over the last 2 weeks. It's all conjecture. They're all investigators. Everyone's a fucking private investigator now. And that's just the way it. Everyone and their grandmother's fucking twat is a journalist. And they all have blogs. And they all fucking think that they're the greatest writer and that their takes are so fucking unique. And people believe them. And they share this shit on Facebook. And people click on it. and they tell their friends about it. And these same people, it's scary that like that these people are able to reach such a wide audience, because these are the same people who will read an Onion article titled, no joke, titled Dick Van Dyke Outed as the Zodiac Killer. And then people will comment on their status on that article on Facebook and say things like, you know, it's surprising, but I guess it makes sense if you think about it. Like, no, it doesn't make any sense, and you're an idiot. And these are the same people that these articles appeal to. And yeah, on one hand, you can say, well, if you're smart enough, you can disregard it. But on the other hand, there's a lot of those fucking people, man. And it's scary. It's scary what this age of media has done to the intelligence of everyone, of so many people in this country. It's a conversation for another day, but it scares me. And we saw the absolute worst of it during Deflategate. No one even wanted to fucking fact check. Everyone just wanted to force their opinion down everyone's throat. So, you know, Ian O'Connor is just another example of everything that's wrong with ESPN and everything that's wrong with journalism in this country. But anyway, moving on from Deflategate, let's just wrap up this article. There's a couple other points in this article that I really wanted to kind of dwell on a little bit. Like, for instance, in the same article talking about football and about concussions, this idiot says, where is it? Okay, of course, Americans are complicit in all sorts of ways. We decry cruelty toward animals and eat scores of them. Because we're eating beagles, okay? We're eating fucking German shepherds, apparently. Or fucking American short hair kittens. That's what we're eating. Because when we talk about cruelty to animals, we're talking about fucking cows. Yeah, that's what we're talking. This guy better be a vegetarian. You could not shove more hypocrisy into an article. So I really hope that he, at the very least, he doesn't eat animals. Because I don't know where this came so fucking out of left field that it has to be justified. Right? Please? I hope? He can't just be saying this for the sake of saying it. He has to at least not eat animals if he's going to make this ridiculous point in the middle of a football article. But anyway, we bemoan climate change and continue to guzzle fossil fuels. Fine. Whatever. Same vanilla bullshit that everyone else turns to when they need to make a point. Yeah. Climate change, fossil fuels, pollution, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. We lament gun violence, but subsidize a popular culture brimming with pornographic cruelties. How much cum do you think squirted out of his editor's dick when he read that line? Let me say it again. We lament gun violence, yet subsidize a popular culture brimming with pornographic cruelties. What do we subsidize? What are you talking about? Oh, are you talking about the NFL? Because we subsidize a popular culture brimming... Is that a Ray Rice reference? Because that's what it sounds like. Okay. I'm pretty sure the public response to that was horrific, all right? And I'm pretty sure Roger Goodell had to backpedal his way into the ocean in order to fucking get past it, and he's still not past it. His whole reign as commissioner is going to be tainted by the Ray Rice shit. So I guess that's what he's talking about. That or Adrian Peterson. Listen, Adrian Peterson beat his kid, and it's horrible, and he's a scumbag, all right? He's a fucking idiot. He's an ape. He beat his kids, all right? But again, like, who are we to judge him? It's his family. You know, he should be punished for it. It's not a reflection of the NFL. The NFL doesn't encourage fucking guys to beat their children. Let's fucking pump the brakes here a little bit, seriously. And, you know, this kind of shit exists in all sports. Slava Voynov, the defenseman for the LA Kings, is suspended for life from the NFL. Or at least indefinitely. I'm sorry, the NHL. Or at least indefinitely for domestic violence, okay? Semyon Varlamov had to sit in front of a court last year for the same thing, all right? Countless baseball players, countless basketball players have been in trouble with the law for various things. It happens in society every day. Crime is a thing that we all fucking deal with, all right? Don't isolate one example in the NFL and say, oh, we're all subsidizing a fucking culture of pornographic cruelties. Shut up. Shut your fucking mouth. All right. So anyway, yeah, this article is bullshit. If you want to read it and ridicule this genius, his name's Steve Almond, like the nut, you know, almonds, and he's at salon.com. and again, the article's titled, "We are all immoral football hypocrites, brain injuries, blah 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 blah." just type the word immoral football hypocrites into Google in this article. Actually, let's see. Immoral football hypocrites. Yeah, it's the first one. It's the first. So if you want to find this moronic article, just go to Google and type amoral football hypocrites, and it's the first link that shows up. Because of course it is, because no one ever wrote those words, because they're fucking ridiculous. So if you want to find it, there you go. What else we got going on today? So the Bruins, whatever, they're not going to sign anybody. They have a fucking 18-year-old in their first line. I don't even want to go into the Bruins. Again, I don't want to go crazy about sports. Oh, I know what I wanted to fucking talk about today. So, like I said at the beginning of the show, everyone in New England goes fucking bananas every time there's a snowstorm. And you would think we'd be used to this shit by now, because we live in the worst climate in the country, and no one knows why they live here in the winter. It literally is inhumane. So anyway, so we all, you know, you'd think we'd be used to this by now, but we're not. So we had a blizzard last week. I'm sure you're all aware of that. I'm up in Boston. I don't know if I said that, but anyway, we had a blizzard here. 25 inches of snow on the ground. It's like 15 degrees out, so the snow weighs nothing, and it's blown around everywhere. And I go outside with a broom, because, you know, I'm not going to fucking use a scraper on 25 inches of snow. So I grab a broom, and I go outside, and I clean my car off, all right? There's 70 inches of snow in front of my car, okay? There's a mountain of snow in front of the Sierra Nevada is in the back of my parking lot, and my car's facing it, okay? So my only options are backwards, which is where the plow came. I'm not going to put all the snow back there. Left or right, okay? So naturally, the snow falls off the left side or the right side of the car, whatever. I don't think anything of it. My neighbor, her car is parked next to me, and I go in the house, and like an hour later, I get a knock on my fucking door, right? And I open the door, and this dusty old cunt who lives, this miserable bitch who lives in the dark by herself, she looks like a ghost, okay? She has translucent skin. I can literally see her fucking liver through her stomach, all right? She's balding. She looks like fucking Freak Show from Harold and Kumar. That's literally what she looks like, okay? She comes over, and she fucking knocks on my door, and I open the door, and she's just like, You threw all your fucking snow in between our two cars, and now I can't get to my car door. I'm like, lady, what are you talking about? So I watched you. I watched you from my window. I watched you put all the snow that I removed back where it was before I moved out there to move all the snow. And I'm just staring at this woman, befuddled. And I said to her, there's 25 inches of snow on the ground, lady, okay? Where would you like me to put it? In my ass? Would you like me to fucking... How about I'll go outside next time with no pants on, and I'll stick my ass against the snow until it all melts into a puddle, all right? So that you don't have to walk through the 3 fucking inches of snow that I put on the ground to get to your precious, shitty Corolla fucking car door. Suck my balls, all right? Lick my taint, you old fucking... And not to mention, like, she has... I don't know what her deal is. Ever since I met her, like when I moved in here, she has this eye, okay? And it's red, and it's full of blood, and it's disgusting. It looks like someone punched a meatball into her fucking head, all right? It's horrific. And she looks at it, it moves around, and I swear to God, you can hear it go when she moves it. It's just, you can hear the eye juices just being compressed by whatever horrific fucking malady she has in her eyeball. And she just looks at me, and it's piercing. And I say, I'll go, you want me to shovel your spot out? Is that what you want me to do? So we go downstairs, and she moves her car, and I shovel her spot. And then I hand her the shovel, and she goes, don't ever fucking do it again. And then I walk in my apartment, and one of my other neighbors is, like, giving me shit, like, jokingly. And I'm like, haven't I gotten yelled at enough today? And fucking this, and I could literally just hear her talking shit about me to this guy. And it's like, really? We share a building, okay? We have to live fucking 10 feet from each other. That's the way you're gonna treat me? Really? Fucking, like, I'm a good tenant. I don't do anything crazy. I mean, you know, sometimes I get drunk and I might be a little bit loud, but I don't really have sex with anything, so you don't hear me doing that. And like, I don't have any fucking friends who like me, so I don't have parties. You know, I'm just some dude who sits on his ass and like I keep my apartment clean. I get the mail. It doesn't fucking pile up in the front hall. Whatever. I'm an okay tenant, I think. And I have to deal with this fucking douchebag because she's miserable and because her husband died probably 45 years ago. She's going to take it out on me. Seriously. So, whatever. Point being, people are assholes. Okay? People in this state drive me nuts. They're so entitled. And everyone's dealing with the snow. It's not just fucking you. All right? So, stop giving everyone the finger. Stop bitching about where people are putting the snow. Take your fucking lawn chairs and your parking cones and shove them right up your a-hole, all right? Because you don't possess the sidewalk. The street doesn't belong to you. Everyone's shoveling. Everyone's miserable. Stop taking it out on everybody, all right? Stop it. You're an asshole. And I'm so sick of the traffic because people can't drive. It's not Armageddon. Okay, just stay in your fucking lane. Just stay in your lane and drive a straight line. Pretend the snow isn't there. It's not going to bite you. You're all fucking retards. Whew. Yeah, so end rant about snowfall. But seriously, man, I don't know. It's just one, you know, people really suck. They really do. And you don't, you know, I used to really think that people were inherently good, but They're not. Actually, you know, funny story. I'm obviously single. I'll bet that's a big fucking shock. But seriously, I'm a single guy, and you know, we all have our train wrecks, okay? We all have our bullshit, and I'm no exception. I have a lot of, you know, I'm jaded, I guess you could say. I think most women are cunts. Is really the honest opinion, because they are, because women are horrible, and I had a girl the other day tell me that she doesn't believe in chivalry, okay? Dead serious. She doesn't believe in chivalry like it's fucking Santa Claus. Like chivalry is sneaking into your house at night and putting money under your pillow and squeezing your tits like it's the Tooth Fairy or whatever the fuck Tooth Fairies do. And her reasoning was that chivalry was something that guys made up in order to get girls to sleep with them, which is a lot like saying that the government made up Agent Orange to help the Vietnamese harvest their crops before the first frost came, which is a ridiculous analogy, I understand. But if the government gave you that reasoning for Agent Orange, you'd be like, isn't that overkill? Like, couldn't you just sharpen their sickles so they could farm their edamame or whatever the fuck they're harvesting in Vietnam? Like, you gotta carpet bomb them with a caustic agent. That's your solution. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that men don't need a weapon as powerful as chivalry to get in your pants. We don't. Men don't need that fucking weapon because all we'd have to do is buy you a couple fucking vodkas and, you know, give you a nice smile. And there we go. We're back at our apartment fucking doing horrible things that you're going to regret tomorrow. And that's all it takes. So your motive doesn't even make sense. You know why you don't believe in chivalry, sweetheart? You know why? Because you date douchebags, okay? You date the kind of douchebags who bring talcum powder into the fucking gym and slap their hands together before doing their 8 reps of fuck pounds in front of the mirror, okay? The kind of douchebags that go to bars and say things to the waitresses like, "Hey, babe, what would you drink if you were me? And how many carbs are in a Jaeger bomb?" Like, dumb fucking shit like that, okay? Chivalry isn't dead, all right? It's just that OKCupid and CrossFit took your judgment, put a 12-gauge up to it, and blew its fucking head off, all right? What else don't you believe in? Huh? You don't believe in chivalry. What else? You don't believe in the Krebs cycle? How about cell division? You believe in that? You believe in the sun? How about vitamins? Is that... What else? What else don't you believe in? Do you have any idea how hard chivalry is? Seriously. Do you know how tiny you feel when you're opening and closing your car door behind a girl who probably has an orange fucking vaginal canal from all the spray tan residue left there from 7 years of leaving the club with whatever axe deuce shitbag brought her the most vodka cranberries? Seriously, do you know what it's like? Do you know what it's like to go out and spend hundreds of dollars on dinner and do the right thing and dress up and look nice and fucking stress out about a date only to meet a girl who's like just devoid of any real intellect or intelligence, and you can just tell that she spent all of her fucking time in high school just taking so many dicks in the mouth, and it's depressing. It sucks. And maybe 99% of women are skanks who don't deserve chivalry. Do you ever think of that? Huh? Did that ever cross your mind? And like, where are women like this expecting chivalry to come from? The fucking dude staring back to you on Tinder wearing a wife beater with a semi? Is that who's going to fucking take you out and be nice to you and open doors and make you believe in chivalry again? Huh? Why don't you get off Tinder and go out and meet people? All right? Maybe shake a few hands. I don't know. Let me tell you something. Chivalry isn't dead. It's just waiting. It's waiting for the collapse of the internet. That's what chivalry is waiting for. And you know what? Maybe I'm bitter, or maybe I'm just sick of fucking girls with big tits and daddy issues. I don't know. But it's probably more my sunny disposition. That's probably why I'm single. But seriously, it's depressing. It's depressing how dating is fucking dead. It's dead. And I've tried, man. I've always tried. I've always been that guy. I've always been the chivalry guy. And girls think you get, girls interpret chivalry as guys who are overbearing. That's what it's turned into. So, yeah, I don't buy that bullshit. I don't think modern girls know what the fuck they're talking about. So I guess the solution is to just keep dating fat chicks. Because they don't fucking give a shit. They love dinner, but I guess they probably appreciate chivalry because they don't want to open their car doors because it's a lot of work and they don't want to break a sweat. But anyway, I think we're done here because I have a couple of things to do and I have a sick uncle and I have to go do that. So I'll see you next week. In the meantime, try not to miss me too much. And I will try not to get myself arrested. Have a wonderful week.